I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, Super Bowl Can Hurt, Whether You Play or You Bet, Haiku, Pure Pleasure. But first, I'm joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Arigato, Bill.
I believe it's time for you to say the same thing you say every year on the eve of the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is good.
And now they can proceed as they had intended. This week, Times Square was turned into, quote, a Super Bowl-themed outdoor street fair. Do you think this is the most interesting thing into which Times Square has been turned?
Oh, I think it's probably the most interesting legitimate thing Times Square has ever been turned into. There are probably some other purposes Times Square were put to down through the years that we don't want to get into.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that there was a toboggan run, because usually you're sliding on other substances in Times Square, especially on New Year's Eve.
One measure of the extent to which the weather will cooperate for the game Sunday evening is how much Roger Goodell is melting. Wait, what?
Yeah, it is an ice sculpture of Roger Goodell. It weighs 1,200 pounds, or six Goodells, as they are reckoned. And if it gets warm, Roger Goodell will become a puddle on the sidewalk.
Oh.
And there are people in the league who will be standing around cheering for that, I might add.
Eli the Ape, who has correctly predicted the winner of six consecutive Super Bowls, has picked the Seahawks over the Broncos this time around. Do you agree?
Well, how can you go wrong with Eli? Because it says right here in the story that Eli hasn't been wrong since 2006. I presume they mean football, because my rumor has it that Eli's trigonometry skills aren't really good.
I was going to say, he has to have made some mistakes.
He's an ape. He has to have made some mistakes. I love the fact, though, that after he made his pick, they invited his wife and daughter to come in and smash up and tear apart and eat
sure. The
papier-mâché helmets that they used to make the prediction.
Stan Kroenke, the owner of the St. Louis Rams, has purchased 60 acres of land in Los Angeles County. Gee, I wonder what he plans to do with that.
Well, it's between the Forum and Hollywood Park in Inglewood, and he's saying that it's possibly that he will develop a new NFL stadium, or then again, he may just hold on to the land for a while and sell it for three times the money when the NFL tells him no. They would rather have the threat of an NFL team in Los Angeles than an actual NFL team in Los Angeles.
It's worked pretty well so far. Charlie, football players at Northwestern University took the first steps in forming a labor union this week. The main legal question at this point seems to be whether football players should be considered employees. What do you say to that query?
I think they're very, very shrewd. They're trying to affiliate with the United Steelworkers, and their main argument is that they are employees for the purposes of insurance, for the purposes of health benefits, more than money. Now, they're going to come for the money sooner or later, but they're very smart not doing it now. And I think this is a very, very interesting development that the NCAA actually should welcome.
David Stern steps down this weekend as NBA commissioner, and LeBron James has already said he wants to meet with the new commissioner, Adam Silver. So who gets to set the agenda on that occasion?
What? Who?
Silver?
Are you kidding? Think of the NBA in 2015. Who would leave more of a hole, Adam Silver or LeBron James? That's the answer to your question.
Wichita State men's college basketball team is one of the lucky NCAA programs that generally generates a surplus about $1 million a year. So what caused the team to go into the red last year?
They went to the Final Four.
Oh, that'll kill you every time.
They had to pay for all the travel. Their spending went up, and the prize money payouts were minimal. So, because the tournament distribution is spread out over a six-year period. So the Wichita State yesterday will get the Missouri Valley Conference $7.5 million over the next 6 years, but it won't cover Wichita State's nut.
This week, Major League Baseball announced that a protective cap for pitchers will be available for testing during spring training. Are we likely to see this innovation everywhere on opening day?
Probably not everywhere, but I think by opening day 2017 we will. People will get used to it. Some high-profile players will use it. Some high-profile pitcher will take one off the melon while wearing it and be saved by it. So yes, I think by 2017 you'll see it everywhere.
Most goalies on most NHL teams can expect to get a workout, but on Wednesday evening, Ben Scrivens of the Edmonton Oilers got more than he had counted on. In fact, he got more than anybody had ever counted before, right?
He stopped 59 shots, and the Oilers beat San Jose 3-0. He should sit down with his defensive crew at some point with perhaps a large polo mallet, and explain to them what their jobs are. I can't be doing this forever, boys.
He's not supposed to be the only guy who gets in the way, absolutely. As we have discussed, the NHL is considering not participating in future Olympics. But this week we learned that participation might end even sooner. Who will suit up if the league decides not to send its players to Sochi?
I presume that this, first of all, makes the Russians the odds-on favorite for the gold medal. I'm not surprised by this. This is looming to be the worst Olympics ever, and that's even before anything that could possibly happen.
Regardless of who does show up in Sochi, I think one thing we can say without fear of contradiction is that these games will not be a bargain.
No, this is very interesting. This is going to be the most expensive Olympics of any kind ever. Usually the Winter Olympics is the little brother.
Absolutely.
Of the spending. The reason the Sochi Olympics are so expensive is because of the kickbacks. Because of the out-and-out corruption by the Putin government, it's practically written into the balance sheet.
Fill up the laundry hamper with cash, boys, and we'll do business.
They should hand the gold medals out in plain brown envelopes.
And finally, Charlie, it took 40 years, but the exercise combination for middle-aged men who live in their parents' basements has finally come to pass. It's D&D yoga. You want to explain that one for me?
We are very, very close to the event horizon for Nerdland right here. An artist named Scott Wayne, Indiana, why he's not named Fort Wayne, Indiana, I will leave the small minds to ponder, and a dungeon master named Eric Hagen have transformed a Dungeons & Dragons campaign into a yoga class. If I wanted to do yoga, I would do yoga. If I wanted to do Dungeons & Dragons, I would kill myself.
Another cohort of listeners gone. You can find the sports writing of Charlie Pierce at Grantland. And he joins me each week on Only a Game as well. Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you, Bill. Leave the past behind. Wish away.